Okay, so this week is Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, which is on page 1046. We're going to look at three topics tonight in the commentary of the Or HaChaim. The first one is on one of the opening topics of the Parsha, or the opening topic of the Parsha, which is Yifas Torah. And that's going to take us basically a page and a half. The second one is going to be in chapter 22, related to the Pasuk, which describes what happens if a man takes a woman and then, you know, makes accusations against her. In other words, he takes her as a wife, and then makes accusations against her. And then the last one is the Parsha of Amalek, Parsha Zachor, right? The Parsha Zachor component, which is the last three psukim of the Parsha. And the Or HaChaim has comments on two of those psukim. Okay, so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And I picked them mostly to limit ourselves to topics so we're not jumping all over the place, on the one hand, but also because sometimes when you come across a lengthy comment, your tendency is to skip it. So I figured maybe we won't do that tonight.
Long
maybe
toasters.
Right, exactly. Like the long toasters, you want to, you're like, oh, you know, that would be interesting. I'll get back to that one day, and then you never get back to it. So I thought maybe we'll actually do that tonight with this with the Or HaChaim. Okay, so the parsha begins giving us this. This really, it's a strange mitzvah. So much so that you know, this is one of the passages attributed to Yalta, who says, you know, everything that Hashem forbade, He gave an allowance to. So one of them is, I don't remember which argument she. This must be about. I'm sleeping with a with a non-Jewess. So here, there's an allowance given. The Torah says, Ki seitzela milchama lo yivecha. So you're going to go out to war against your enemy, and you're going to take captives. So you're going to see among the captivity a woman who is beautiful. You're going to desire her. You may take her for yourself for a wife. And then the Torah gives instruction as to what you're going to do. You're going to bring her in. You're going to let her hair grow. She's not going to cut her nails. She's going to look a little. Not let her hair grow. You're going to shave her head, and you're not going to let her take care of her nails, right? No French manicure. Okay, that's going to make that clear. So, and the whole point is to make her look not as appealing as she was when you captured her. And then after a month, after Yerach Yamim, then you figure out what you're going to do, right? If you want her, you can keep her. If you want to get rid of her, you can get rid of her, and that's the fun. And obviously, it seems that the Torah is really leaning towards the side of not to keep her, right? That's the whole point, and that's why she goes through this process. But what the Or HaChaim does is he creates a different kind of metaphor as to what the Torah is really teaching us. Because, I mean, you know, I remember, you know, it was almost funny, but I saw an article a few years ago. I've shared this in shul, but I remember seeing an article that said something to the effect of some people in the Palestinian community, or maybe it was Egyptians, I don't remember, were saying that the IDF is racist because they don't rape Palestinian women. Okay, you saw such an article, right? So, it says in the Torah, you're allowed. So the answer is, no, they have a moral army, and they're not, you know, I mean, you know, whatever that means, we know what that means, but the idea is that that's not their goal. Their goal is to stop terrorism, Israeli defense, right? And they're not looking to go on the offensive unless there's a threat, such as in 1967 and 73, where you just, you know, you not only have to push back, but you have to do what you have to stop the threat altogether. So that's a different story. So let's take a look at what the Or HaChaim does with this. Okay. V'ra'isa bashiv ya eishas yifas tovar. He said, "Hinei miyomro yifas tovar, mashma dafki yifas tovar." So the fact that the Torah says that it's an interesting phrase, by the way, eishas yifas tovar. It doesn't say v'ra'isa bashiv ya, you know, isha yifei tovar. What does eishas mean? Literally, anybody? The wife of, right? So that's just strange language. Anyway, so you know, it seems that Yifas Tovar defines somebody who is a woman who is beautiful. But Chashaktaba, what does Chashakta mean? You have a Cheshik, you have a desire. So is a desire limited to only beauty? What is beauty anyway? Okay, so afilu chaura, even if she is not objectively beauty. So why would it say specifically ifas tohar and then have to include somebody who is not as objectively pretty? I mean, chaura is not a nicer word. I'm just trying not to be so not nice. Haylo lamabra, you say aishes. Just say, you see a woman, and then, you know, we understand how biology works. So we really need to go back to the core of this entire mitzvah here. Right? What is the allowance in the first place for a Jew to Agad Hashem command for a man to be metame himself to the daughter of El Nechar? Okay, in other words, of a different religion. And this is even more troubling, because the fact of the matter is, what do we say? You're going to go out to war, and how are you going to win? God. Okay, so what's going on here? Wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles. So we're dealing with a miraculous war. And in the heels of the miraculous war, you're going and taking this lady from the enemy non-Jewish nation? What is that? That's only going to take us away. Now, what did we read in last week's parsha about the Melech? A king can't have too many wives. Why? Because they're going to turn his heart away. We're not necessarily even talking about non-Jewish wives. We know what Shlomo HaMelech did. Shlomo is the classic example of somebody who didn't follow that. But he married a lot of non-Jewish women. But the Torah doesn't even say that. The Torah says, just don't have too many wives. They could all be Jewish wives. They're going to turn his heart away. So he says, if that's the case, so this is certainly going to take away from his dveikus, his connection to God. So I understand when you allow, in the heat of battle, people to eat whatever they need to. I mean, because they were talking about survival. Battle is dangerous. Battle, your life is at stake. Battle, you're exhausted, you're hungry, you know, everything that you need. So yeah, you eat whatever you do in order to survive. So in your Rav, hutam nachonu, that's correct. Aval masa zeh, yitavenu hosenu, it's a toeva to the person who does it. So the rabbis explained to the Gemara Kedushin that the Torah is speaking and is answering for the Yetzer Hara, who just, you know, this is it. I'm on the battlefield. I haven't had a woman with me in a while, and so here's this lady, or maybe never. Who knows? It could be a single soldier. I don't know. So he says, what really should happen is that the person should be able to take this out of his heart at a time when God is fighting for them. So he quotes, I guess maybe that's the Zohar on Balak. Sha'amru shebechet Adam Harishon nishbu kama neshamos yikaros biyad sitra achra behem neshamos agirim. So this is why I share this, because the Aruch Chaim goes in a direction that we could not have anticipated. Right? Most people, they explain the mitzvah, they explain what the Chumash is telling us. The Aruch Chaim says, no, there's something much deeper going on over here. There are precious souls, excuse me, on account of the sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden, and their souls were captured by the Sitra Achra, and those souls are the souls of the Gerim, of those who will be converting to Judaism. How many of the greatest of the great came from the nations? Rus will prove the point. Okay, great examples. Actually, it's not really a great example for this, but you know, the five rabbis sitting in Bnei Brak. So one of the interesting things about them is that none of their ancestors participated in the slavery in Egypt. Right? You had Kohanim and Leviim, and you had descendants of Gerim, who were the five rabbis at the Ibn Abrah. So they're either Shevet Levi or just they weren't there. So it's just fascinating. But obviously some of these, I think Rabbi Kiva is presented as having been a descendant of Kandras. Oh, the Galel Chasod Echa, Timson Neshama Torah Devuka B'Neshama Tmeya, V'Ein Koach B'Tehora L'Hatos HaTmeya L'Hitiv, U'Menach HaShem Ad Eistror. And he says, I'm going to tell you something else, another secret. You're going to find that there's a pure soul, which is connected to a tamea soul, and there is no strength whatsoever for the pure one to turn the tamea to make it good, and it's there at ace dror. What's dror? Karasim dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha. It's on a liberty bill, right? Until liberty comes. Rachavas stands for Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. So he says that there is a deep connection between the soul of Rabbi Chanina and Shchem. Amur b'divrei mekubalim, matzina shanefesh halazo lo astas mifalto b'shchem yatsa g'shedavik b'dina matzah nefesh mina v'nidbaka bo. So what happens is there was nothing good in Shechem. Lo as tas mifal tov b'Shechem v'yatsasa, and it somehow it was extracted when it clung to Dina. So matzah nefesh mina v'nidbaka bo. So it was somehow it came out with her and it clinged to him. Kemro v'tidbak nafsho b'Dina. So his soul clung to Dina. Whose soul? So it's Shechem's soul. V'shamor l'cha klal zeh, v'yesh nefesh kedosha b'ina klipa, sh'magam sh'kavanasa tata leiv, ha'shochenes b'socho, leitiv, yigarshu chelik ara, o yim teku. That we have, it's not clear what's going to happen when a soul is in limbo over here between people. You have a holy soul between the klipa, right? The klipa is a shell that prevents it from achieving its potential, that where it's supposed to be, kavanasa tatelev, ashochenes b'socho, lehitiv, its goal is to turn the heart, which is inside this neshama in some way, or this nefesh, to is trying to turn it to good, v'igarshu chelek hara oyim teku, and either to expel the bad component of it, or sweeten it. V'heim agirim amizgairim in umos miasman, kirusam oviyachanama, so essentially what he's saying is that you have these components of a soul which are clung to tuma, which are trying to get out, and they need an opportunity in order to do so. So I guess his example of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion is that his soul was somehow stuck to Shechem, and Dina's involvement with Shechem, which is a horrible story, but somehow opened up a door for that soul to emerge and to eventually become part of Klal Yisrael. So the Aruch Haim says, I've written a number of times that through the deed of a mitzvah, a person can be enclosed in the light of the Shechinah. And the person can expel from himself whatever badness is. Kiomro, shomer mitzvah, lo yeda davar ra. Somebody, as the Pasuk in Kohelet tells us, somebody who observes the mitzvah should never know from bad things. V'prat shluchim mitzvah. Even more so, regarding shluchim mitzvah, what do we say about shluchim mitzvah? Shluchim mitzvah, ein anizakim, right? V'ayin mash barash v'parsha shlach l'cha, sh'shluchim mitzvah v'shash l'cha sam, afilu mi'yitzara mitzvah sam atzil asam. He says that in parsha shlach, he said about the spies that when they went on their shlichus, their mitzvah, doing what they were supposed to, had they done what they were supposed to be doing, they would have been protected from the Yetzirah. Okay, the mitzvah would have saved them. Now we didn't see that. I was not here that week. I was in Israel that week, so we didn't have a class that week. So somebody who does an avera is enclosed by that, and that's not, or by the ruach hatuma, and that is not and that just steers him in the wrong direction. So again, he's coming back to the point that he was trying to make. So after Hashem has told us all this about the neshama of the ger and how it's trying to come out and how it needs to emerge. So though the great wise ones enlightened us about this mitzvah, and it begins with saying, when you go out to war, right? As we saw in last week's parsha, when you go out to war, that was the whole discussion about, you know, who's afraid and who started building a vineyard, who betrothed a woman. So all those people have to go back. So what is the kisei tzei l'milchama? That's talking about a mitzvah to go out to war. Whether it's a milchemes mitzvah or it's a milchemes rishus is a different conversation. But the point is, sheyitziyaso hi ledavar mitzvah kamo shepirash nalamala, as we saw earlier. Amar od im ra'ah v'shivya perush b'shashivya. So what it says, if you saw her in her captivity, it means in the moment of her captivity. So what's going on at this point in time when the soldier comes across this lady? He is oseg b'mitzvah. He's in the middle of a mitzvah. Im yira eishes yifas tawar perush eishes samuch. Okay, so if he sees an eishes yifas tawar, what is an eishes yifas tawar? So the rabbis explain, Rabbi Seinazal Amru, eishes ish. That this eishes samuch means that what the woman that this guy is seeing, that the soldier is seeing, is a married woman. Now, before you hear that, or if you learned that Gemara already, the Gemara in Kiddushin, what do you think when you see Bera'isa Bashivya eishes yifas tawar? What do you imagine? A married lady or some, you know, beautiful maiden? What do you think? Vote, anybody? Okay, the second one. Anybody? Anybody else? Some people don't want to vote. Okay. I always imagine it's a beautiful maiden. Okay? Unattached. He says, no. Eishasish. With Devarim Emes. Elishilu Devarim Leva. Yichavei. No Yilu Lamar. Eishasish. Lo Eishasifas Torah. If they were right, or if what they were saying was the only way to understand it, then the Torah should have said, Verisa Bashivya, Eishasish. So what's the deal with Eishasifas Torah? Unbelievable. He says that if a person is doing the mitzvah properly, what's the mitzvah we're talking about? War, right? Milchama l'shei mitzvah. Again, I'm not going into whether it's a milchemes mitzvah, you know, specifically, or milchemes rishus, but both are officially a mitzvah. So the person should be able to have the ability to discern who is this woman in front of me. Okay, what is her soul? Is she a soul of a potential convert, right? What that was, you know, set aside from the time of Adam HaRishon, or are you just lusting after something which is, you know, here, there, and gone tomorrow? Is she an neshama kedosha, which is called ifas Torah? So that's why it's not eishes ish, which is described in Torah. It's a beautiful woman. Why? Because she really has a beautiful neshama. Kizon neshamas hakedoshos mufla v'atzamu, because the shine of these amazing neshamas is clear. V'zosha yishav tansa b'chelik ze'atov, and this woman has it. L'zek ra'ah kasuv eishes ifas Torah v'karta. He says, because you're oisik b'mitzvah, what's going to happen? Listen, if the lady is ugly and hideous, and there's nothing special about her, then you know what you're going to see? An ugly and hideous lady, and there's nothing special about her. And is there going to be v'chashaktaba? You're going to desire her? The answer is no, no. Okay, now I don't want people to assume that I'm going to be making this kind of comparison. So that's my disclaimer. But I know, and I'm sure we all know of people who married. I'll just say men who married women who converted to Judaism, the most sincere converts you can find. Okay, and what does that mean? What does that mean, if they're sincere converts? That, let's assume for a second that the man first met her when she wasn't yet Jewish. But chashakba, why? Because he knew that this is where she was going to end up. Chashaktaba. Now, was he oisik b'mitzvah at the time? That's a different question. I'm not going to go there. Okay, maybe he was studying in college. I don't know. But I know a number of amazing, incredible women who have converted to Judaism. I don't remember, or I don't always know. In some cases, I know that they met before she converted. Maybe before it was even, you know, on her horizon. But I would not question the sincerity of these women, not even for half a second. So, you know, it's not the same thing, because we're not talking about Kisei Tzela Milchama, but maybe it's Kisei Tzela Milchama Al Yetzirah. And you say, if she converts, I take her. If not, I don't. And that is a possibility. So what did the pasuk say? What does v'chashakta ba mean? You desire what is in her. It doesn't say v'chashakta osa, that you desire her. V'chashakta ba lahir lo liisha tachoshek el lamash ba sheifas tawar. It's not, oh, you see a woman and therefore your yetzahara takes over. You see what's inside of her, and what is inside of her? That she is Yifas Tovar. Shuchelek HaTov, Adoma L'Nefesh HaTorah, that there's a goodness inside her, meaning what, anybody who's a captive in war is not good? No, you see the Yifas Tovar within her, the Nefesh Tahorah, the pure soul in her. V'chvizeh Agam Shecheora Isha, V'chlal HaHeter, Ki Eino Chozer Yifas Tovar, L'Gulam HaNigla, Ki Lelo Yimshech, and he says, and that's why I can even include a cheora. What is a cheora? Homely, right? Whatever word you want to use.
You also give her option to leave.
Okay, nechinami. But the point.
How holy could her spirit be?
No. Okay, that's maybe she's not there yet. But the point is, he's trying to understand how the Torah can allow you to just take home this lady just because of a lust. Just because of a lust. And he's saying no. And the hint is clear. Right? Okay, that there's something in her. And even if she's a cheora, right? Well, you don't judge. Don't look at the bottle. Look at what's inside. Don't judge a book by its cover. So it has nothing to do with what she looks like. It has to do with what you're seeing inside of her. And even somebody on the outside, not so pretty, on the inside, may have an neshama tahora. And that's the point that the Or HaChaim is making. V'amar, v'lokachta, l'cha, l'isha, ini v'chom amar, ha-miskanela amar, ha-kasu, v'lashon kinui, v'haveisa, v'yata, v'shilata, v'kanama, v'lokachta. That all the time, it says, you will bring her, you will have relations with her, you will send her, and v'chanamar v'lokachta. What does v'lokachta means? And you will take. But it doesn't say v'lokachta, that you shall take her. V'lokachta, you shall take. V'cha l'isha. Shina akasav l'ayircha, shalkicha hi b'nealam, she'i nefesh ha'kedusha, she'be'emtzah z'nyin yelah b'alokicha acher, she's kebe yifas tawar. It says v'lokachta means you're going to be taking. There's no hay at the end of that word. Why? Because what are you taking? You're taking something which you can't hold on to. It's not a physical act. What is it that you're doing? You're taking a neshama. How do you grab onto a neshama? You can't. So meaning physically. So v'lokachta means that what you're taking is that kind of lakicha, which is about the yifas tov, about the beautiful neshama. Kikisha yidbaki shabu yisha sheba chelik matov take if you kene mekomo chelik atov Yisrael vizakebo kamo shezach sadina bas Yaakov v'nefesh kedusha v'goba Shechem ben Chamor. Right, just as Dina was able to extract that neshama from Shechem, okay, and how long did Shechem live after whatever happened with Dina?
2 days.
Just right, not very long. Shechem comes.
4 days, right?
No, Shechem. Oh, yeah, maybe. Whatever, it's not, I don't know the exact timeline, but Shechem, meaning, from the one thing which we don't have is from the time that Shechem rapes her, how much time does it take until he gets to Yaakov? Okay, he comes to Yaakov, you have to circumcise, he says, done, circumcises, then they go back and Shechem already is circumcised, and then 3 days later he's dead. So, yeah, I mean, 4 days, maybe five, maybe six, you know, it depends on how much time it took from the rape till he gets to Yaakov's house, but still. But in the meantime, what happened? Dina extracted that soul, and that soul had a chance to become a neshama tahara. And since there's two different aspects of understanding this connection between the holiness and the klipa, Hudavar Hayotze B'Deveka Rishona Kinizkar? So that's your question, Avi. What's going to happen? We don't know if the part which is connected to her or is embedded in her, whatever way, is what's going to come out in the first Dvika. Right? What's the first Dvika? Whatever the first encounter is. Kinizkar V'Nishara Yisha Chaluta B'Chelek Hara V'Nisirokna M'Chelek Tov, and maybe she's just going to stay the way that she was. Oh, Efshar She Kula Nechletes B'Chelek Hatov. Maybe she's just going to turn around and just like Ruth and Naama, she's going to come out of that shell. So that's the goal. When you bring her, so this is actually like the opposite of what I said at the very beginning. Remember how I said that the whole goal was to try to encourage the man to send her home? So the Aruch Chaim is saying, no, you bring her into your home, then what's going to happen? You're going to get rid of the part which is bad, and what's going to cling to you is va'al tidbak ha'isha achar shloshim yom im nizgaira ishtozo varehi karus v'chanama. If she says, you know what, this is my soul has been yearning and pining for this. It's just it's bashert that I literally fell into your hands. So then she becomes like Rusan Abu Amaro by Saluchal Isha im yachbot, so she can become your wife if that's what's desired. Im lo yachbot. So if it doesn't work, then that means that the good part actually left her completely because it was extracted and it's not in her anymore, and that's it. So she returns to that, and then you send her home. Because there is a possibility that a man will certainly have a desire for a non-Jewish woman in a znus kind of way. Because nobody's saying he's not going to have that kind of taiva. You know, it's only if she has such a holy soul. Right? That we assume that his initial taiva was because he was oseik b'mitzvah. He wanted her because the mitzvah and he saw something. But if after a month, whatever he saw is no longer there, the Aruch Chaim gives the guy a pass, saying, no, it was there, but it left, and it's gone. And that's why after a month, what's she now to you? Chayra, that's it, out, done. So even though she was Yifas Tohar, what is she now? She's Chayra. So now the only thing that could be attaching you to her is not her beauty, because you've taken away her beauty. You've taken away her hair, you took away her manicure, whatever it is, and you're making her look unpleasant. So if you still want her, then why would that be the case? Only because there's something inside her. But we're getting rid of anything that might be a natural desire. Right? A woman who is who just looks disheveled and all that is just not desirable. So if she says, you know what, that's it. This is where I belong. And there are some people who just like that. They said, you know what, I've been waiting for this my whole life. Then that's a sign that it's time for chuppah and kiddushah. And if he doesn't want it, that would seem to be, if I'm understanding this correctly, that's a sign that is no longer there. If it's no longer there, then it's time to follow what the Torah says. Right? If it's not what you're desiring is not in her anymore, then shilaftol nefesha, send her home because her nefesh is something else. You do not make any profit on here. You may not sell her. You should not enslave her, rather, because you have already afflicted her. Okay? So I think this is an interesting way that the Aruch Chaim is basically explaining for us that this woman, in the end, that what his taking her is coming from a place which is deeper than we can understand, simply because not having been on that battlefield, we don't know what it means to see into somebody's soul, and that is that is a gift that the soldier was gifted, that he could actually do that. Okay, so that's the first one we're going to look at today. The next one is in Parak Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay, so it's the bottom of page 1050 in the Chumash. Man marries a woman, comes to her, hates her, and then he accuses her spreads a bad name against her, saying that I took this woman and I found that she is actually not a virgin, and that was a condition under which I married her. And then and then her father comes out and brings the proof and says, this man married my daughter, and now he hates her, and now he's accusing her of not being a virgin. What a terrible, terrible thing. And so, assuming that they can prove that she indeed was, then the man is punished, mea kesef, 100 silver coins, and he has to give it to the father girl because he ruined her reputation through his false accusation. So the Or HaChaim tells us, bottom of page to the last paragraph, Kikachi Shisha, Dibur Torah Keneged Bnei Adam, Gam Bnei Yisha Shechozim Bnei Men HaTorah, Ki Omram, Ki Yom Katzar, Lama Shetzarich Shadel Al Mechya. Okay, so he uses this entire episode as a meta, well, yeah, Musar Shmuz for sure, but as a metaphor. Okay, he says, Bnei Yisha Shechozim Bnei Men HaTorah, right, ki kach ishisha is a man, not a man who takes a woman, but a man who should be taking Torah, should be acquiring Torah. Yom katzar, tzarich lishadel ala mechya. It's a short day for what a person needs to do in order to get food. Yomar kasim ki kach ishisha zos haTorah hamaorasa. The woman that the man is taking is the Torah, which is his betrothed. Uba ilaha. What does it mean that he came to her? He came to her means that the light of the Torah, the Har Sinai, has already begun to shine on him. And that's the receiving of Luchos. Right? And now he hates her. Hating means that they don't want to follow the rules. Laseisla onasa. What's onasa? That's a marital obligation, right? Ona, marital relations. But he's saying it's mishpat, and people they don't want the details. Okay, I got the Torah. Okay, you want me to follow rules? I'm gonna follow. Uchishaba mochiach ledavari love lama timas eishes nirim meshiv ki ein haTorah zana mufarneses v'hi v'hutzarech lemichya. So why would a person get upset with the wife of his youth? Meaning the wife of his youth is the Torah. Why? Because you can't make a parnasa out of it. The Torah doesn't give you any food. And I need food, so that's why I'm neglecting or rejecting the Torah. And the person doesn't see any bracha signs from learning. Even though he's studying it and delving into it, the person's not getting a parnasa. So what does he do? He rejects his wife, meaning the Torah. The other rabbi. And what does he see? That all those who have distanced it, and guess what they're doing? They're working, they have parnasa, right? Everything. Their house is filled with goodies. And that's what it means when it says that he's making accusations against her. And he brings out a bad name against her. When he says, he says, look, I'm not saying I didn't take her. I took her. Ella Shaomer Ekrabe Leha Velomatsasi Lebasulin. I took her. I admitted, but I came close and I didn't find her to be I didn't find her virginity. Perish Lashem Choset ki Osukea Saviv Yachanu Litvok al Dalseachirim so tariff. That what's going on here, that those, it seems what I am finding is that those who delve in Torah, that what are they doing? They're knocking on people's doors, begging for food. So what happens is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the father of the girl, and Knesset Yisrael, they will come and they will cry out for her disgrace. Albona shel Torah, which is based in Agadol, in front of the Sanhedrin. And that's what it means when it says that the father of the girl and her mother, they're going to take. What are they going to take? They're going to take the sheet, right? They have to prove that there was blood on it. They're going to say, no, it's all real, it's all true. That God's going to be the one who's going to be defending or lamenting rather over the loss of the Torah. Right, as it says in Pirkei Avos, what a terrible thing has befallen the creatures of the world on account of their disregarding Torah. So what's going on? The guy who stands saying about the disgrace of the Torah, this is written in front of us, when the guy says, so the father of the girl says to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man as a wife. Perush lona satia loogna v'keren zavius. I didn't give her to him so that he can chain her. Right? That's the same word as aguna. That he can chain her in some corner. I gave this man my daughter so that he should treat her like a wife, and he shouldn't shirk in his responsibilities, taking care of her food, clothing, and marital relations. So all of these things are needed for Torah. When the Torah says that the guy ends up hating her, it means he's coming from a certain kind of mida, which is called sina. The reason that he's distancing himself from her and why he has to throw these hurling accusations at her is because he can't hack it. He can't hack or he can't find tokef. What's the tokef? Substance. The chosek and strength from the Torah. Right, he came and made accusations against her. Digdeg lamar bihinehu, and behold he, lehayir ki einza emes shalogar lo ela soneashuch im bikirbo, that the accusation is not true. The only reason why he's making the accusation is because of the hateful nature that is inside of him. Ve'ela b'sulei biti, and when the father says, here's the proof of my daughter's virginity, vayu advar berurim kisimla. It's so clear when the father comes out with the sheet and the blood on it that in fact his daughter was a basula, and that this guy is just harping on something which was not true. Because really the fact is, what are we talking about? All this is chosek haTorah. We're talking about that everything was created in the world for the Torah. And exists and lasts in the Torah. The Chaltova and all good at Svunalalabah, the Otsurus Chaim, Matov, Niknesba, all the goodness which is hidden away for the world to come, and the storehouses of life and goodness are acquired with it. So the Pasuk is telling us that this is the justice, if you will, of the man with the basin. Rishona. So the first thing that happens is, remember, this guy who has accused his wife is found to be not telling the truth. So the first thing is v'yisruoso. Yisruoso means that they will afflict him, right? Al derech omrom zal ra'a adam shisurin bo'im alav yitlev abitul Torah. That if a person sees that different difficulties are coming upon him, he has to hang them on the hat of the fact that he wasted time from studying Torah. Perish al mashabit el ha-Torah. And the rabbis pushed this, saying that bitul Torah is a terrible sin. So why is it connected to this until he makes the claim that he didn't find Basulim? So in other words, there's a stronger claim against the guy. Why is he waiting that long? And the reason is because there's no limit to the amount of how much a person needs to be involved in Torah. You are not free to ignore it. And basically, why did the Yisurin come? Why does the suffering come? Because the person saw that he had the opportunity to do something, and what did he do? Nothing. And that is where the punishment comes from. And what, so what's the punishment that comes on this gentleman? So 100 silver because 100 brachos. It's Gemara Menachos tells us, what does Hashem ask of you? It's not what does Hashem ask of you. It says, Meya, that Hashem asks of you. Hashem asks you to say 100 brachos a day. V'yata means that now, that's the pasuk probably in Akev, V'yata Yisrael Ma'ashem HaKachashu Emlein Bach, that V'yata means Yachidu Tshuva, V'yachsiv, V'yata Yisrael Ma'ashem HaKachashu Emlein Bach, Shechai V'yishadel Hashli Mam. Okay, so I mean, we can go through the remaining paragraphs, but I think that we see the point. The point being that the Or HaChaim is using this example of a man who is making a relationship with a woman and as a metaphor of what does it mean to have a relationship with Torah, and the opportunity that a person has to have a relationship with Torah from the very beginning. And then to work at it, right? What does a good marriage entail? It entails working at it. Nothing's perfect, but that's what it is. And this guy, the first thing when the going got rough, the first thing that he did was he said, "You know what? I'm going to get out of this. How am I going to get out of this? I'm going to make up a story. Mekachtos. Ah, you're a liar. Ah, lying schmying. You know, fact schmacks. Doesn't really matter. I'm going to get out of this because it doesn't work for me." It doesn't work for you? Yep. And so he uses that as this metaphor for Torah. And we know this is true. Right? We know this is true. Anybody who starts off at a base medrash for the very first time, how easy is it to study Torah? It's not. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes work. And like my mother-in-law says about fights in a marriage, right? It's very easy to say, that's it, the marriage is over. It's a lot harder to work at it. But that's how a good marriage lasts. People work through it. The same thing he's essentially saying is the case with Torah study. You know, enough with the excuses. Just work at it, plug away, and get it done. And remember, who's standing in your corner when somebody accuses and says that the Torah is too difficult? Who's standing in the corner of the Torah? The Avi Anara, the father of the girl. Who's the father of the girl? It's Rabban Shalom. He's saying, you can do it. I believe in you. This is something which I gave you. And it's something which is, as we say every day, so what does that mean? Does that mean that it's too hard? Maybe, but it also means that a person can challenge himself and make it into the ultimate effort. Take a look at on page 4, just the last few words. He quotes Pasuk and Mishlei, because what's the Torah? Imrei Torah, dechsiv ki chayim hein. They are life itself. Their life itself. So if a person accepts that, appreciates that, buys into that, then you have your answer. You have your answer. It's not about, it's not as much about the mitzvah with the way, and the mitzvah is meant to be taken literally. There's no question about that, and the consequence of such. But the Or HaChaim is trying to show us that the Torah is shared with us a greater depth. Okay, last topic, as I promised, is on page 1066. And that is the Maftir and Parsha Zachor. Zachor is Asher Aselocha Amalek Baderech Mitzaychem Mitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you, for you, when you left Egypt. Most will probably translate it to you. Asher Karacha Baderech Vayzanei Becha Kalanecha Shalim Acharecha V'yata Yep V'yageya V'lo Yirei Elohim. He happened upon you, meaning Amalek happened upon you on the way. Struck those of you who were in the back, all the weaklings in the rear, when you were faint and exhausted, and Amalek did not fear God. So, when it's going to be, and Hashem is going to help you conquer your enemies, then you're going to wipe out Amalek. Okay? And that is the Haftorah of Parsha Zachor, when Shaul fails at doing that in the book of Shmuel. I will just let you know that one of my favorite sermons that I ever read of Rabbi Norman Lamb is entitled In Defense of Samuel. And I believe he delivered it in the late 60s. But it can be found online if you know how to find it. But it's an amazing, amazing, amazing sermon on that topic. That's a little digression. Let's look at what the Or HaChaim says about this mitzvah. Okay? Zachor, you have to remember. Shein kiyatz behem sheyitzal Yisrael b'lo kadimus yidiyosam mimenu elok asher yidea anesher hu karcha baderach. So he says that the way, you have to remember Amalek, because their attack of Yisrael was unique in the sense that nobody rushed to attack Israel as quickly as post-Egypt as these guys did. But the Or HaChaim does have a question. Pasuk says, Asher Karacha, that they happened upon you. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Shamru Sha'inyan, Sha'anan rather, Hayyam Chasel Yisrael. The cloud, as we know from the beginning of Parshas Peshalach, Hashem olech lefnehem yomom, b'amud anan, l'nchosem adarek, v'layla b'amud eish le'er lehem. So there's a cloud, which is basically steamrolling, bulldozing a path in front of them, and the cloud is protecting them. Okay, because the cloud was covering Israel, and nobody knew where they were. What happened was when Aaron died, that's when
the shield
dropped. Exactly. It's like oh man, what's that place in the Black Panther movie? Wakanda. Wakanda. So they have this shield, or if you prefer, Star Trek, whatever. Shields up, right? Shields up. So the shield went down when Aaron died. Okay, fine. Uva Kanani vayilachem Yisrael, and the Kanani came. Okay, fine. But if that's the case, that the shields are up until Aaron dies, but Aaron dies in the 40th year. When did Amalek attack?
First
week or whatever, right after Kriyas Yamsuf. So im kain tikshaminayin yada Amalek makom chaniyas Israel. How on earth did Amalek know where Israel was? Levoit from lilachem imam to come to them and to fight with them if they indeed were protected by the clouds. So he says that's why the pasuk says asher karcha, they happened upon you. Perish yiker mikrehu. It was pure luck that Amalek came upon them. So Vayizanev means that they were like a tail, right? Or following your tail. It's not to suggest that they were able to penetrate the cloud. That there were some people that the Anan would just simply spit out. What is nechashalim? They might be the stragglers, but maybe nechashal is from, how would you say? No, that's nechalash. I wonder if that could actually work. I it'd be very interesting if Rav Hirsch would make that note. You know how there are some words that
keves
and kesev, simla and salma. Ayef and Ya'ef, there are some words where two of the letters are switched around. It doesn't change the meaning of the word. So I wonder if Nechashalim and Nechashalim, Nechalash, you know, the ones who are weak. So, but weak in what way? Not just weak in terms of, not the inability to fight, but spiritually weak. Maybe they didn't belong there for whatever reason. And not that I'm not a big fan of kicking people out in any capacity. But you know, I'm not God either, so to make such a judgment call is not for me to make. Why were they tired? They're still in the throngs of having been slaves in Egypt. Yageya means exhausted, mitorech haderech, from the difficulties of travel of all their walking. And when the pasuk says he was not fearing of God, perush. So what we see here is that fear comes to your heart more than even tiredness and exhaustion. Okay, so I don't know the context of that pasuk, so we'll skip that for now. Had they been tzaddikim, they would not have to have been afraid. And milchama would not have been a concern for them. So the biggest difficulty for Am Yisrael was the fact that this was unexpected. They didn't know how to deal with it, and there were people who were not 100% in terms of being in Camp G. Camp G meaning God's camp. So Korcha, Sher Korcha came upon you, and they were tired and exhausted. The problem with the battle with Amalek at that time was that they had not yet developed themselves. They hadn't experienced anything yet. I mean, maybe they had experienced Mara, but, you know, what was Mara? They certainly hadn't experienced Sinai yet. They certainly hadn't experienced Torah yet. They certainly hadn't been living 40 years with Moshe Rabbeinu in the wilderness. We have nothing else to do and nothing better to do than to study Torah. So that's what makes the difference between Amalek, the battle of Amalek, and the battles with Sichon and Og. The battles of Sichon and Og, they're like candy. It's just so simple in the way that the Torah describes it. Whereas the battle with Amalek was a totally different animal. And why was it a different animal? Because they just did not have the experience yet. They had to grow into their job as being the Am HaNivchar, being the Am Yisrael with the connection to Hashem and the ease of being the tzaddikim who were never challenged, right? I mean, that's part of what the Dor HaMidbar is about. Yes, they lost the opportunity to go into Eretz Yisrael, into Eretz Canaan, on account of the sin of the spies. But again, that's relatively early in their experience. They learned their lesson. By the time that entire generation died, what did they produce? An entire new generation who are ready to conquer the world and conquer the land. And how much did they challenge Moshe Rabbeinu? Nothing like what their parents did. If any, you know, the only challenges which we see from them are in the end of Parshas Chukas, different things over water. But they were never really trained to deal with the fact that there was no water. So that's a very different kind of reality, and a very different kind of story. But what the Or HaChaim in essence is trying to show us is that the experience of the Amalek was happenstance, and which is kind of odd. Like, why doesn't he want to put a little more blame on Amalek for being evil and nasty? I don't know the answer to that question.
He has a question beyond any couple. That's why.
Right, so because he focuses on that, so he doesn't really. But he doesn't really. I mean, he says, you know, what did Amalek do? They came across you. How did they came across you? Yeah, it was luck. But I guess the answer is, but it's okay. They came across you. So what? They don't have to attack you. And the fact that they did, and who did they attack? Kol Nechashalim Acharecha. Right. So you just find randomly weak people who are straggling behind, and you just attack them. So I guess that's the answer. That must be the answer. So Amalek is nasty and evil. And they used an opening which no other decent person in the world would ever do. You see a straggler, you see somebody struggling behind. What do? You pick them up and you try to help them get back on their feet. Okay. I mean, not that that's so nice.
But they came to fight.
Right. I mean, right.
They had their armaments with
them. Right. Okay. Right. They were prepared. Well, right. So the question is how they actually found. So, you know, that's an interesting question. So was the force field of the Anani HaKavod, was it an invisible force field, or was it just an impenetrable force field?
What about the
Arab
Rush?
They weren't.
Right, so Arab Rush is a totally different conversation.
You know, hint where the Jews are. You're not going to find a large population of people in a desert, even if they're the Arab Rush, you know, all by themselves. You're looking for the Jews, obviously. So this would give you an indication of where they might be.
Okay, I mean, you know, in
the Rashi on the second line, "Vayzaneh b'cha v'hanech shalom acharecha chasri kolach ma'apus."
Oh, so you didn't say the weak. Yeah.
Hanech shalom means the weak ones.
Yes.
Because of sins.
You're right. So Rashi says there, chasri kolach machmas chetam shayen and poltan. That there were those who had sins. Okay, well, that's exactly the point. Why did they have sins at that point in time? Because they didn't have training yet. They didn't know that there was an alternative to the kinds of behavior that they were used to from Egypt. And that is something which they're going to find out afterwards. That's what we see, you know, Vayishma Yisrael. What does Yisrael hear about? He sees how they managed to survive this and managed to survive this. And now it's Torah time. Okay, yeshukar everybody.